the Bills do is win. Win, win, baby. I requested this song for our next guest. What a tune.
Well, that's why it feels so good.
It feels so good.
Because it's so routine.
So sweet. Yeah, it's just another day, another matchup. Then let's bring in our insider that's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Whoo! What a game. What a game. Mike Shoup, co-host Shoup and Bulldog on WGR 550 in Buffalo. What does it mean? How are you? How are we doing this morning? The Buffalo Bills are riding the highest of highs, and so am I as a fan. How are you feeling covering the Bills in a game like that, and just what a legacy night for Josh Allen?
Yes. I mean, you always want to be open to some randomness. I mean, anything can happen in a game. It's very tough, as everybody knows. Every fan knows how hard it is to think they know what's going to happen, to predict games. But the idea that they would put on a performance that I think can say is unprecedented in the history of the sport against New England in that spot is really incredible. I mean, to leave the stadium, for Bills fans who know their history, know their past, to leave the stadium and think that maybe this game is the best in franchise history or second best, I mean, is really amazing. So at the same time, you have high stakes this year and the Super Bowl potential that exists, and then you have the history with New England. It felt a lot different after Saturday night and a lot better. And I mean, overall, the history of the franchise isn't so great. So you have a lot to talk about. That's good for me, right?
Yeah, it is good for you. There's a ton. And yeah, I guess it does start with Josh Allen. But to me, watching that game, you could tell very early that there was never going to be a let off the gas pedal moment with the Bills, that they really wanted to stick it to New England, and that you could really feel just the past come out. And even recent past, right, where I thought about basically McDermott standing at the podium talking about not giving Belichick too much credit, and how much we hammered Poyer over the way that those guys responded and the defense, and were they tough enough and did they get broken. It really felt as though there was an added personal element to that game. I wonder if you felt it the same way.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. It's something I can't say that I did feel it, but I agree with you now in retrospect. I feel like a lot of that stuff is usually more us than them. No, I mean, what happened with the Patriots in the last 20 to 25 years is really very little to do with those people. It's more just sort of our baggage, right? But I think you're probably right, and I think those might be the right examples. I mean, they were throwing deep late with that lead.
Yeah.
And so on a night like that, right? So just a really incredible performance, and if it were personal, as you put it, for McDermott or for some of those players, recent and distant past reasons, you know, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I would just want to think, too, that there's also a statement of, hey, you guys used to do this to us. You used to run up the score, and this is going further. I think that the personalization of it probably has to go back to the weird win game, if there was a reason why they're throwing late. But I did love that, at least from a narrative standpoint, from a us standpoint, it did feel like, okay, yeah, no, this division runs through us now. There's no more of, hey, could it be? Is it our time? It absolutely is. We've got the best player. We've got the best team. And we're going to kick the crap out of you until they tell us that we're actually not allowed to anymore. There's no more time left on the clock. But you talk about that baggage. You talk about those ghosts. And I'm sure that's been something that you've been sitting with as a host, as a representative of just how sports feel in that city. And what that just meant to those fans, to have that moment, to have all the anxiety of, oh my God, could we potentially lose to Bill Belichick and a rookie quarterback again, turning into just a 3+ hour party of domination, and what this has meant to just, you know, the sports identity of the city right now.
100%. And ideally, you'd have more than however much time there has been to talk about it and reflect on that. I mean, after season, win or lose, going into next year, there'll be a lot of reflection on that, I think, of course. I think, just by the way, on that, the New England point, I felt actually not a connection, but a comparison was appropriate after this game Saturday night with Miami last year, because, you know, you have a new quarterback and he might be good. And you know, right now he's just kind of average and just kind of there. Let's go play Buffalo with a chance for the playoffs. And they got smoked by 30. And here in New England, I think, is kind of in the same situation, and they lose by the same score. So you've got to figure out here if you're arguably good quarterback is good enough, right? I mean, that's also part of what the Bills' past has been. Now, I mean, it's the Chiefs now, right? So we'll talk about Saturday night for many years around here, but have another big game with a history, a team against, you know, whom they have a history, and it's even for higher stakes.
So let's talk about that next game. Obviously, they're going to be playing Kansas City at Sunday night, and we were talking about how this lines up for kind of like another demon type of game where they have to overcome something from the past. And how do you see this matching up? Or are you confident that they'll be able to overcome something like this? And maybe what's the plan going into play at Kansas City next week?
Well, there shouldn't be nearly the same sort of emotional piece that we're talking about, you know, if you buy into that in the first place. I mean, they have one there this year. So in terms of confidence in that, Bills have reasons to feel good about their chances. They've also, this is something we've been talking about a lot here for much of the season and before, is they really reacted to the loss in Kansas City last year with what they did to their roster. They got bigger. Mm-hmm. They drafted pass rush. They designed a game plan and a scheme for Kansas City. They implemented in that game. They really blew the Chiefs out in that game. Then we spent most of the season talking about how they're not as well equipped to beat teams like the Colts and the Patriots. And Saturday happened. So I think they probably do feel good about the particular matchup still, though. Nobody can really, you know, match up with Patrick Mahomes and expect to win. It's a game where you'd think the two quarterbacks at their best could put on an amazing show. And no, they're comparable. To say that about Allen, I think should mean a great compliment, because Mahomes has been the best. So it shapes up. When the schedule sort of fell into place last night, it looked, I think, objectively like the game of the weekend, and did put it in the prime spot Sunday night, which I'm glad for.
It does seem like the Bills definitely reconstructed their roster to be able to compete against the Chiefs game. So let's get ahead of ourselves and say that one goes well. It does seem like the Titans are the biggest, you know, mountain for them to climb down the road. But I guess I leave the game thinking the Bills could be favorites in the AFC. You know, they played their hearts out. They showed what they have. Am I just too overexcited to put that into the atmosphere?
Not at all, in my opinion. I mean, I am a numbers guy, and when the Bills struggled at times this year, first place I look is not the standings, but it's like, what are the betting odds? Mm-hmm. And the betting odds have never wavered on this team. They were not always the number one favorite, but they were always, you know, top five, right behind the Chiefs in the AFC. When the bracket came out and Tennessee gets the huge advantage of the home field and the week off, they were still not the betting favorite in the AFC or even close. The Chiefs were, and then a gap, and then Buffalo. And if you look today, it's the Chiefs and the Bills. Like, the winner of this game is supposed to win the next one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not to say those teams are bad or that even Tennessee will win. They're a 3-point favorite only at home against a Bengals team that just played. But I think there's no question, unless there's a quarterback injury, there's no question that winner of Buffalo, Kansas City will be favored the following week.
So I've been a big believer in Allen for quite some time now, and I've said it all year long. To me right now, he looks like when he's at his best, the only guy you can compare him to is Mahomes. That it's those two guys, they're at the top of the pile. That even in a year where Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady's going to win MVP, I didn't see anybody play up to the level that Allen did. And so, yeah, it wasn't really shocking to me that he put that performance together against New England. It was amazing, and it deserves a ton of credit, but I wasn't completely blown away. I wonder, though, if you think there's anything from a game like that where Allen plays so brilliantly and they have such a big lead that it becomes hard to learn something else about the team other than you might have the best player on the planet playing at his very best heading into a huge game against Kansas City. Like, if I have to ask you about a reservation heading into that Chiefs game, or a reservation of, hey, I wish I would have got to learn X about this team in that matchup, what would it be?
Well, two things. I think that comparisons and the sort of the praise for Allen do seem appropriate at this point. The thing with him is, as I watch him, is was not on display Saturday night, to his credit, was there are bad plays. Like, Aaron Rodgers almost never makes a bad play. It's almost never an interceptable pass. His numbers in that department are crazy. Like, just he's the best at that. And with Allen, you know, sometimes it's a roller coaster. Saturday, he threw 4 incompletions, I mean, in 4 degrees. So it didn't happen. And if that continues, no fumbles, no bad plays, if you will, and I think sky's the limit, and he's up there like you said. So whether or not that will repeat itself on Saturday, the other point is, like, any quarterback, any team, as you guys know, if you get behind, it changes. You know that there's more of that pressure to score. Your game script is different, and you can't be as patient as you might like to be, and that can sort of speak mess with any quarterback. So I think Allen is susceptible to that. I think Mahomes is susceptible to that. Maybe Rodgers isn't, for whatever reason. Like, he's just different in that way. But with Allen still, and maybe also Mahomes, you have that happen sometimes. And so it's hard to know whether to predict that or predict against it. That's been a piece of his story that on Saturday night just was not evident, and that's helped make it historic for him and them.
Possibly more history to come Sunday night as the Bills take on the Chiefs. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, gonna be a great one. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time this morning, man.
We did do it. Love Toronto. I was glad to talk to you guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. It's Mike Scope of Scope and Bulldog on WGR 550 in Buffalo. And that insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So I don't know. Like, well, what is, in terms of the quality of that quarterback matchup, what is there a better court? Like, would you be more stoked for Allen Mahomes or like Brady Rodgers throwing it back one more time?
Ooh. In the current state, I think Mahomes Allen is like the hot ticket number. Like, if I was paying to see a sporting event right now and I could just make it happen, it would be those two. You know, they're the top of their game. They're young. They're, you know, the future, right? I think a Brady Rodgers matchup is a legendary type of matchup where, of course, they're elite. But they've kind of already proven what they have. I think that Josh Allen has so much more to give, and he's writing that narrative right now. He's writing his history and his what he's going to be remembered for. And like, I would want to be a part of that journey, you know, right now in the moment when Josh Allen is at his best.
I think I would take the Brady versus Rodgers just because I will probably get less of it. Mahomes Allen feels like what we're going to see for the next X amount of years. Neither of them feels as though they're unsustainable or fluky, or that this isn't going to be the AFC hierarchy for the next 5 seasons, right? So it doesn't matter what pieces are around those two. I trust that those two are going to be around. So yes, there is a part of me that goes, yeah, the rise is always the most entertaining, the beginning of the battle and getting the footing. But if I'm being asked, like, which one would I prioritize, it's the one where I know I'm going to get less of it. And who knows? This could be the last time Brady is here, right? We can't be taking it for granted that the 44-year-old quarterback is just going to keep running this in, year in, year out, with the same level of success. At some point, it's going to happen. I know it doesn't feel that way because he still looks so damn good and so healthy and, yeah, just still ripping balls down the field. And, God, whatever avocados he eats, they're just the best avocados, you got to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, somebody but, send me those.
Yeah, but there's even an element of who knows how much permanency there is to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, right? If they have some type of embarrassing failing here in the next round, are you convinced that Rodgers is going to stay now? I'm not. Rodgers feels like a really volatile guy who could end up pushing his way out of town at any minute. So just the idea of those two guys being on the field together and going toe-to-toe for a spot in a Super Bowl, that feels like something I would guess anyways that I will remember more as I get older than the first time Allen and Mahomes face off one another before there is some real juice between the two of them at this juncture of their career. But either way, this is really exciting. Both matchups are great.
We're lucky to kind of have both, right?
Well, I'm also happy that the way that this shook out, that there wasn't some major upset in the first day, right? That we didn't have something stupid. Like, no offense, Jalen Hurts. I actually thought you didn't perform as poorly as some people did. But I'm glad you're not around anymore. I don't want to watch the Eagles play anymore. I'm good. I don't want to see Big Ben have some weird upset, right, where that defense just gets to Mahomes and he does just enough. Ben does just enough at the end of a game to kick a field goal where they win that one. Like, the best teams are here. The most intriguing teams are moving forward. I guess let me switch it up and ask you guys this. Which team do you think is more interesting, L.A. or Arizona?
See, I'm going to go with Arizona here. I just think we just spent a huge chunk of time talking about the Allen Mahomes matchup, the potential right. Brady Rodgers matchup. And I think that that highlights that, you know, exciting quarterback player, quarterback when they're on, is what's juicy, right? And it's what changes the floor and ceiling for a team. And I think the story of this game, and I want to ask Ross Tucker about this when we have him on at 9:30, because he's got the game tonight on Westwood One. Is the formula for the Cardinals as simple as you need first half of the season Kyler Murray, and without that you don't have a chance, and with that you would be a favorite? Because Kyler Murray has been very, hey, I was in these discussions that you guys are having about Allen and Mahomes and some of the other top young quarterbacks for the first 8, 9, 10 weeks of the season, and that's completely fallen off as the Cardinals have fallen off. Mm-hmm. So the Rams are a tough team. And they have Cooper Kupp, which is, you know, he's the best single playmaker in this game. But, you know, if Kyler can rediscover how he looked in past years in the first half of this year, like, they've got the edge in quarterback play there. So I think the Cardinals are a more interesting upside team. They were also, not to get ahead of the Waken Rake, but they were also the underdog that I liked the most. Heading into
I'm on the other side of this.
We do a whole segment on this. Just relax. Like,
we're teasing
you,
it,
right?
After the break.
Yeah, that's not a tease. You just gave your picks. That's not a tease. Do you guys know how teases work? That's a give. I'm telling people all week, hey, you got to listen to 8:30. Hey, you got to, like, I'm fending off all the pick demons, all the people that are trying to pick at our picks. You know, like, all the
this is not going to be a high confidence pick for me. It's not making the weight break. I just you look back, and the way Kyler looked until maybe week 7, where it was like, hey, 3-4 touchdowns half the time, and you know, running the ball a little bit, and he still ran the ball, but there just wasn't that same dynamism that he had early in the season. I want to see that back, and if he finds it, and that's a huge if, obviously. But if he finds it, I think Arizona is a more dangerous upset team moving forward than St. Louis, or than the Rams are. St. Louis still have that on the brain. And you look at their earlier meeting, and like, Murray ran on, like, he dominated them in that 37-20 victory that they had earlier in the season. And then even the loss, he put up almost 400 yards. But a big swing in that game was he was really mistake prone in that one. So you've already seen in two matchups between these two teams how Kyler swings things. So you know, the story of the NFL playoffs is going to be a lot of quarterback play. So I'm going with the team with the more dynamic quarterback is much more interesting here.
How I feel going into this matchup is I don't trust the Cardinals. I don't think that they're a real deal. Like, look at the last couple games. They lost the Seahawks, they lost the Colts, they lost the Lions, they lost the Rams, and that's them coming down the stretch for the playoffs. And I don't like that type of energy, that type of lack of momentum. Like, they've really been exposed on a lot of these games, and I know that that doesn't matter when the playoffs happen, because all of a sudden it's a new season, they say. But for me, it does matter a little bit when I look at, you know, what you learn about yourself and what you've had to overcome over the last, like, 5 weeks. There's some bad losses that you shouldn't be losing.
But does that make them less interesting to you?
If we're talking about interesting, I see Blake's point, so I'll give him that. Yeah. Like, they could be a team that surprises you. So maybe I'm more looking towards, I don't have faith that they're going to surprise me. But if they do, then that makes them extremely interesting. So I think more of my decision is I'm on tonight. I think I'm more confident than Rams, but in the same hand, that goes both ways. If the Cardinals can make something happen tonight, yeah, they're interesting to me. But I'm more thinking about the matchup and thinking about our next segment about the betting, right? So I
know,
like,
you guys are already in betting brain. Like, you're gone. Like, you're gone. I asked you, I was like, who's the more interesting team moving forward? Ailish is like,
money.
Here's what I think for the gambling breakdown. Like, no.
But I do think that
segment.
That's important to know, like, coming in, like, down the stretch. Like, they haven't been good. I'm not confident with their performance. So, like, yeah, well, I guess that is a bit of an answer, but also a bit of a tease.
I'm torn on it, honestly. Blake made a really compelling case there, and I went, yeah, you know what? That's right, because you're right. That's the answer. Is the highest upside play is probably Kyler in terms of a narrative swing, right? If somehow he does recapture the first 7 weeks of the season, wow, would it be something special to all of a sudden have Kyler Murray playing that way against Rodgers and against Brady and those guys, right? You got to have an elite quarterback play. But the other side of it, though, too, still is so fascinating to me. This whole, you made a play for Matt Stafford over Jared Goff because you thought this was going to be the elevator for your team to a Super Bowl. And he hasn't been that. All these Rams defenders can point to all the stats and touchdown passes and blah, 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 blah. Stafford has been a disappointment this year. There's just no question about it. He has looked way too much like Jared Goff down the stretch this year. But now we're in the meaningful games. And last year, what? I can't remember the quarterback's name that played against Seattle who beat us. But that's just some bum.
Johnny Wakenrake.
Sean McVay. Like, I almost called him John because he said Johnny Wakenrake. Sean McVay played some absolute nobody. Some absolute complete nobody. And you felt better about it than you did Jared Goff. That was it. And instead, they have Matt Stafford here, who they traded multiple first-round picks for. I've heard the case that next year still matters for Stafford, and I agree. But this is not a long shelf life where you traded for this quarterback, especially somebody who seems to get beat up. Like, not everybody's Tom Brady, right? Not everybody's playing late in their career. Most guys are Ben Roethlisberger, where even if they're playing later in their career, a lot of it is on name brand, name recognition, but maybe the play isn't up to snuff, right? I loved how we were still doing that thing in the Ben game, by the way, of and what could be his last game. This dude can't throw a 10-yard pass. We're like, what could be his last game?
Like his final stats, like if this is it, this is what his career was. It's done.
Here, here's the news, Kyler Murray. If you don't perform in this game, you're going the way of John Wolford, where JD won't remember you.
John Wolford. That's it. John or Joe? Joe Wolford.
John.
John? John.
John, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Just either John Wolford.
Jay Wolford is definitely the way to go. 100%, I agree.
Yeah, we're
Jay
gonna be Wolford. Like, oh yeah, who was that? K. Murray, Kevin
Jay,
Murray.
Yeah, no, Jay Kyle Wolford. Murray? Yeah, yeah. Both teams are really interesting to me. I'm really excited about tonight, minus the fact that it's two NFC West teams. And yeah, that. Although my Seahawks spin is, look how hard the division was. Woohoo! We didn't have a fair shake. It was too hard. There were too many good teams in here. Why can't we play in the same division as Dallas? Boohoo! Boo boo bee boo. So either way,
I do love from a like tactical and like just a general sports fan standpoint, the fact that these two teams have played twice already and they were dramatically different games.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Bills Patriots to this, right? Of how is this going to go? Like McVay has a reputation, right? And There are Kyler question marks and the odd Stafford question marks. So I think this is going to be a really fun game. It's one of the ones I've been looking forward to most this weekend. And let's hope that halftimes line up correctly around the Raptors game.
So I like that as a segue into the Wakenrake. The Bills Patriots element of this is how I'm going to roll with this. The Wakenrake, which is red hot. Again, the three of us all hit our best bets. I'm going to say this. Free money. It's like, that's all. It's free money. You listen to this segment, it's essentially free money. Do you know how good we are at Wakenrake? Is that I actually get people DMing me going, oh, well, I took this one pick and got it wrong. I'm like, yeah, I guess you got one of the picks wrong. You know, that's how good this is. We're the Leafs on our West Coast road trip where we're coming back with 5 or 6 points and people are going, well, how good were the 5 or 6 points? That's how it's happening right now. The Wakenrake making money. Our picks for tonight's game, for the Raptors, all those things. That's next. The Fan Morning Show. Ailish Porfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
What is that?
It's Pet Shop Boys, buddy.
I don't know.
Let's make lots of money. Opportunities.
Yeah.
Pet Shop Boys, Fan Morning Show, Wake and Rake.
I feel left out of this song. For those of you that can't hear it because you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you're not, and you're listening to this on radio, subscribe to the podcast so you make sure you get these picks every day because we're red hot. But the line, I think, was, you've got the brawn, I've got the brains, or I've got the brains, you've got the brawn. Let's make some money?
It's there's a bunch. It's, I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. you've got the brawn, I've got the brains, let's make lots of, and then it goes into the verse. So we've got, this is the Always Sunny. Mm. Remember the one where they're trying to figure out the roles?
Yes. And I was just going to ask you, I was like, who's like that.
So we've got here the song.
Yeah, you're the brains, we know.
Brains, brawn, yeah. and looks. You guys could fight over looks. I feel like I'm the brains and the brawn.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I this is a tough one. This leaves us like one person out. And I'll tell you this. If we put it
we'll
to an audience
Sims
poll.
Decide.
I was just going to say, if we put it to the audience poll, I think that it might be the most one-sided poll in the history of Twitter polls. Like Twitter might actually look at it and be like, hey, we got to investigate this Twitter poll. Why did someone make such a one-sided ask? So great. So I'm just nothing. I'm just on the outside
the
looking
card.
In.
You're cutting the brake
lines. Wild card. Yeah, I do love wild card. You know what? Real miss by me for Super Wild Card Weekend, not just opening the day with Charlie in the hat opening the back of the van and with all the gasoline in the car and the brakes cut. Okay,
he
so let's get into
the
it.
Back, and then everyone else is like, yeah, we knew he was going to do that. Yeah. They just drive on like it's nothing.
Yeah, that's it. So we stay red hot. Again, for those of you that are not following along, the Wake and Rake. Blake, do you have actually the updated stats on what we are in terms of?
So okay, a couple people messaged me over the weekend. And so on Friday, in addition to the Wake and Rake, we threw a couple other things out there. I threw a couple of hockey ones out there that I liked. And we didn't have Heat on the parlay, but we were all strong on Heat. And that one hit too. So a few people sent me their screenshots of their Wake and Rake or their Super Wake and Rake, where you take kind of anything we say. Keep those screenshots coming because it's really great to see you guys winning off the picks.
I love them.
So we went, the three of us went 3-for-3. Cool Bet Chris lost. So as a whole,
again.
So we now have, we have five parlay hits, seven if you were ignoring the guest. So twice we've had the guest be the trapdoor out of the four times that we've
What's
had a
the
guest.
What's the overall record of the show's best bets right now? Just us, not the...
Guests.
No, Cool Bet Chris. He's out on the just for us, whatever. Sure, include the guests. I don't care. Whatever you want.
Okay.
Got.
Just the three of us. We're 37-16.
37-16.
That's
honest
just
to
shy
God.
70%. 69.8%.
Honest to God.
Damn.
37-16. I don't even care that we're so due for regression here because it's going to happen. We're going to regress at some point. Because if we don't regress, then honest to God, like enjoy the show while it lasts. Because it's not going to last very long because the three of us are going to be living in just different tropical countries. You think I'm going to put up with watching – I'm going to be watching all of your Instagram stories of snow from Malta, you know, like somewhere where there's a tax haven where I can go.
I was
going to
say, friendly tax situation over there.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I got to go somewhere where
I
can hide all my money. I got to hide all my money somewhere because I'm rich. I'm rich right now. And if you're not rich, it's because you're a fool. It's because you just didn't tail these picks. You didn't do it properly. You haven't been following along. You don't subscribe to this podcast. You haven't hit me up on Instagram. You listen to Cool Bet Chris. You haven't hit me up on Instagram and asked me for a promo code where I could just even give you even more free money to gamble with. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. You're doing something wrong. So let's stay hot. Let's stay hot. Before, do you want to start with the Raptors game tonight or do you want to start with the football game? Because we were talking about it a little bit. You two both teased, quote unquote, your picks.
I mean, we
what
can
a
just,
tease
we
with
can
a mystery.
Yeah, we could just wrap up football quickly because I want to talk to Ross Tucker about this one more at 9:30 because, again, he's got the game tonight and he'll give us a little more. I like the Cardinals plus 3.5. I actually like the Cardinals on the money line at plus 160. There's about, 8-9% edge there versus what you'd expect on the projections. So this is – I would actually say Cardinals money line is probably the second most confident of any of the wild card weekend bets I had in terms of, like, percentage wise, the other one being the under in the Cowboys game, which was, because it was so chalky over the weekend, that was the only spot I really, was heavily invested or like really believed. So the Cardinals money line is the second biggest edge. Obviously, big Kyler question marks. He did not look good the last time against the Rams. Good volume, but mistake prone. And this is a pretty good Rams team. Cooper Kupp, obviously, you get into the player props there. I don't know that there's a number high enough to not take Cooper Kupp at this point. His receiving yards right now are up at 106.5, and that's insane. Like, to see a guy with a three-digit receiving yards over under is wild. it's Cooper Kupp, and they're going to spam to Cooper Kupp tonight. But yeah, so Cardinals is the dog that I like this weekend. I'm over talking on this one, but there you go.
So I really don't have a feel for the actual pick in this game. The side of this I want to play. My original thought was Rams, but I just don't think that the Rams are trustworthy enough to lay these kind of points with. So if I was going to say that, like in gambling, we use the term bet, pass, or lean. And so a bet is something that you're definitely playing. A pass is obviously something that you don't want to play. And then the lean is that you're thinking about it, or if you are going to wager on something, it's a small wager. So I would say that I'm leaning towards the Cardinals plus the points. Just if you can get that hook, that plus 3.5, I don't mind that number. But what I'm focused in on more is scoring props in this game and just props in general in this one, and looking at who I like from the standpoint of being able to go over. I don't have a number right now for total receiving yards for Zach Ertz, but he's a guy that I'm probably going to play in this game. If you just look at, these are his targets over the last 4 weeks of the season: 11, 13, 9, 10. To me, he is the guy that Kyler Murray has decided is going to be taking up the extra volume that has been left behind by DeAndre Hopkins.
So I've got Ertz at 56.5.
So I'm smashing that over. I'm going to play his touchdown at plus 200 tonight, because I just think that that's really good value for someone that is going to probably end up with the highest target share in that entire offense. So plus 200 for Zach Ertz. Over 56.5 in his yards, if that's what I get the number at. I'm hoping that I do. I'll probably end up putting it in a bet builder prop parlay, both of those bets. But Ertz, those targets that I outlined, not only are those huge, but the second part of this is Jalen Ramsey is not going to line up across from Zach Ertz in this football game. And Jalen Ramsey is a human eraser. He's going to be wasted on Rondale Moore for a bunch of plays, and on AJ Green for a bunch of plays, and on Christian Kirk for a bunch of plays. And so I'm not playing any of those other receivers tonight, because I don't know what the dynamic is going to be with Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I don't know where those guys are going to constantly line up. What I do know is that Zach Ertz is not going to line up in that spot. He's going to be in the slot. He's going to be moving around, and he's still Kyler Murray's most trusted target. And so I think this is a volume play. This is just one where I expect him to get, you know, 8-plus targets in this game. And with 8-plus targets for Zach Ertz, I think he's going to crack 56 yards. And I think he's going to get a couple of opportunities at the end zone as well. So he and Kyler, I both like as touchdown props. Kyler's plus 195. You get around the red zone, you get just the fact that the pressure with the Rams comes up the middle, forcing Kyler Murray out of the pocket. I kind of like the idea of him rushing and scrambling in this game. I think he knows he has to use his legs. So both guys I like. I'm going to be playing Kyler over in his rushing yard prop. I'm going to be playing Zach Ertz over on his receiving prop. And I'm going to play both guys on their touchdown catches, because I think that there's solid value there. I'm seeing Kyler Murray at plus 200 right now for a touchdown.
How are you feeling about a Cooper Kupp touchdown?
Too much juice. Minus 167 for me is what I'm seeing.
Oh, I have it minus 125.
Okay, well, that's a really good number, and I would probably play that then. I would play the Cooper Kupp TD at minus 125. I wouldn't play it at minus 167, which is what I have it at. It's just, it's Cooper Kupp. I'm always a believer in bet studs, right? Bet studs.
Of course.
Because you're going to get volume anyways. And in these games, I think that we all try to get a little too tricky at times, where we go, like, last night I saw a lot of people playing Pringle in the Chiefs game, where people are going, Pringle, he's a guy that he could eat up a lot of. It's Tyreek Hill, fully himself, and Pringle could be. And you know what happened? Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce just smashed their overs, and both guys got touchdowns. And you go, stop overthinking it. Like, just take the studs. And you don't feel bad losing on studs, right? It's just the number's usually high. But in gambling, again, this is a principle of just gambling in general, is usually when a total is high, it's high for a reason, right? There's an old saying of, take the highest total, take the over, the lowest total, take the under. And that it'll usually work out for you. And I feel the same way with studs in big games, where you say, the reason Cooper Kupp's yard total is probably over 100 tonight, it's like, what? I'm going to guess it's 97.5. Blake, do you have it in front of you?
Cooper Kupp's what, sorry? Receiving yards?
Receiving yards. 97.5.
106.5.
Okay, so even higher. Yeah, like, that's really, really high. Guess what? I'd still rather take that than betting the under. It's either it's either a pass or nothing. You do not play the under on a Cooper Kupp in a big game.
By the way, those people who popped and couldn't stop with the Pringle, they got their late touchdown, though, on the Kelce pass. So at least they got that.
They did.
A little Pringles joke for you. Chip talk.
Oh, I missed that. It did, went
once
right
you
over
pop,
my head.
You can't stop? I don't, come on.
Pringles aren't really in my
I love seeing
my,
on Cool Bet when
brain.
We move the line. Already the Earth's number is moving around. It's moving. It's dropping already.
Pulling over on the highway to
yeah. Old Cool Bet Chris tells me I don't move the line. He's like, oh, you don't move the line. It's like, okay, I'm
moving
as I'm speaking.
Yeah, they're already parked on the highway. What about a Matthew Stafford over 0.5 interceptions?
What's the number?
-125.
-125. I could see it happening.
Yeah, I could
it's
see
not going to be my wake and rake,
so,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah, what, one of my favorite
thing
things to do
put in a parlay.
One of my favorite things on a full NFL Sunday is to do the interception parlay. Is just like pick a handful of bad quarterbacks against decent defenses and stack the interceptions. But standalone, they're not great. Although I did have a nice Jalen Hurts one on the weekend.
The reason why I felt like I was really on the Rams, and now I'm feeling a little less confident to put it in the wake and rake. The Cardinals are 3-8 against the spread against a team with a winning record. And I think that, like, when you look at them stumbling into the playoffs, they had a couple bad games. I know the Rams have had some, like, well, that last game against their team, they won. I just feel like there's just that momentum, and I don't like the matchup for the Cardinals just because of that one stat too. So I think I'm just on my own going to play Rams on the spread there. And what is it? -3.5. And it's,
yeah.
So I feel confident in that. I don't know if I want to put it in the wake and rake, but I'll just throw it out there into the universe that it could happen.
I think that they picked this game to be the one-off because this is the most likely to be a close game. Okay. The fact that we're all sort of torn on this one makes a lot of sense to me, right? If you look at this last weekend, everything that was consensus hit, right? Mm-hmm. From our show anyways, other than Blake, you know, thinking that the Cowboys were good and Ailish and I having the Niners because we stay true to ourselves. We trace to like, I just love how I take a shot. Blake's been like absolutely perfect. He's hit a billion picks in a row and I'm just railroading him on the one thing he got wrong. But yes, other than that, we were all pretty lockstep. We thought, hey, you know what? Bengals against a team that's going to be tired, that doesn't have a ton of talent. Guess what? Lock it in. Done. Bills, far more talented team. Ailish, the only reason that you didn't believe in it fully was anxiety. But we looked at these two teams on paper. We said, this is going to be a Bills. This is going to be the Bills. They're the more talented team. They're going to win. Ends up happening. Ends up in a blowout. Chiefs, we get a sneaky, scary moment at the very beginning of the game on a, I don't know what the hell Andy Reid was thinking play. But he thought, hey, you know who's better to handle a snap than Patrick Mahomes? Mecole Hardman. Whoops. Probably not. Probably don't do that moving forward, Andy. Ends up being a blowout. This weekend was full of blowouts. No interesting games. They put this one here for a reason. This is two highly volatile teams that you should not trust. So I'm sorry if someone tells you that they're uber confident in either side of this line.
No.
I think that they're a huckster, that this is a bit of a... This one is not. This is going to come down to that Matthew Stafford turnover. This is going to come down to a Kyler Murray fumble. I feel that way in my bones that this is just going to flip in a weird way game.
Okay, before we lock in our wake and rake picks, let's quickly touch on Raptors because they are the Toronto team in action tonight. They're +4 at the Heat. Obviously, we mentioned earlier that Kyle Lowry is out. They have five other absences, but Markieff Morris is the only one that should really stand out to you. The big one here is Bam is potentially back. He's listed as questionable, and most of the Heat beat writers thought he'd make his debut this year, or his debut this year. His return tonight. Hey, 2022. Yeah. We could frame it as that if you like. And then on the other side, Ken Burch is out because he got his face busted, and Gary Trent is still questionable. So Raptors +4 feels right here. If you're playing without Birch and you're playing against Jimmy and Bam, the Heat have been pretty good. Obviously, no Lowry is a real thing, but this feels like a pretty tight line to me.
So, can I just ask you one quick thing too off this, because we do have 10 minutes here, and I want to provide a pick for this, but if Gary Trent's part of the core, shouldn't you feel like you miss him more? Like when I look at this line and you say, "Oh, Gary Trent could be in or out," I don't care. It doesn't affect the way that I look at this line.
Like to me,
he's not worth a point.
Well, he's definitely worth a point.
You're afraid.
No, I'm bringing up a
you're
stat.
You're afraid of Raptors Twitter. Look at Blake. He's a little shaky.
You know where Gary Trent's absence is felt? The team has shot 29, 22, and 29% on threes in three of their last mm-hmm. five. That's you need someone who could shoot the ball. And you see, like, they mm-hmm. just straight up don't have a starting lineup option. Like, they've tried Svi there. They've tried Yuta there. I would assume they're going to try to actually go big tonight. Like, I think they like the way the Boucher-Precious lineup looked if Trent can't go.
Yeah.
But that's where you're at, right, is, like, you have no shooters who aren't Fred VanVleet or OG Anunoby spotting up. So I think that Trent's probably, you know, that's a point probably, but there's also, you know, there's also an element of this is now a weird, like, we're into weird territory with this injury where he was a late scratch with swelling and it's now been a couple of games and he's still questionable. So I don't really know what to make of that one.
Okay, I'm just going to put it like this. This is one where I usually say evaluate, don't look too much at history. Mm-hmm. That historical stats don't usually bode too heavily in terms of the way that I think about a game. That being said, this actually is a spot where my gut feel is just these two teams play each other tough, that they use each other as a toughness measuring stick, and I think that the Raptors are in a spot like that. I also do believe that there is something to the fact that they're going to see Kyle Lowry that night, and they're or like they're going to know that he's facing their team. They're going to know about what's happening here. I would assume that you're going to get a 1A punch from a guy like Fred. You're going to get a 1A punch from a lot of the Raptors players. I think that they'll play a disciplined game. I think that they'll play a tough game. And so, to me, again, this is not a bet. This is not a pass, but it's a lean towards the Raptors. I have it as +4.5. I usually have a rule of bet an underdog if you think they can win. I think the Raptors mm-hmm. can win this game. So to me, if you're going to play Toronto, I would actually be looking at playing them on the money line and just saying, hey, they actually win this game. Especially considering Bam is not confirmed to play yet. And you're telling mm-hmm. me that I could get a Heat team that doesn't have Bam and doesn't have Kyle Lowry? Now you're into the territory where you're asking me to give extra Caleb Martin minutes. I'm not crazy about that version of the Heat.
Also, just the over-under is at 211.5, and that's a low over-under for the current NBA landscape, but the Raptors have hit the under four games in a row. The Heat have been a bit of an upset special on the over-under sometimes, but haven't been scoring. Well, they just blew out Atlanta. They scored a ton against Atlanta, but without Lowry, if Bam doesn't play, I don't know. I wait for the injury updates on that one, because if Trent and Bam play, I no longer like the 211.5. But these teams project at about 213, so it's really close there. If you get some absences and you believe in this Raptors uptick in defense, then maybe that's a play there. Four in a row on the under for the Raptors. So.
I'll tell you this, though. One thing I've been playing a lot recently where I find that there's a lot of value on the book still is Siakam's assists over. I don't think that mm-hmm. there's been an adjustment yet for the amount that he is playmaking. And so something I would keep an eye on for sports bettors tonight is where Siakam's numbers set at with his assists and playing his assist numbers. If some books let you tease him down with bet builders, I think that is a really good spot. What is his number right now, Blake?
It's at 4.5.
I love that over.
Bumping up against 5. You can get the more interesting one is if you want some value there, if you're going the just $5 route, you can get the mm-hmm. player assist milestone at 7 assists +300.
Yeah, see, I really like that. So that's a just $5 for me. I'll be chucking some ducks. I'll be playing just $5.
Just $5, baby.
Over 7.
All right. Pivot away from
It'll be more than just $5 for me.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes here to lock in our wake and rake picks. Ailish, what do you got for us?
All right. I'm going back to the old faithful. They got me a win maybe last week, but I'm liking our Cavs on the spread tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the Nets have quite a few injuries. They have split their last 8 games. Cavs are on a 4-game winning streak. I'm liking it. It's at, 3.5? The Cavs are cover Kings. Are they still? I hope so. That's going to be my wake and rake.
So the risk here is that while Durant is out, we're expecting Harden and Kyrie to play. But, you know, maybe you can talk yourself but you have the Durant out, which maybe maybe pushes in the
favor. I'm gonna stick with it.
The Cavs are 28-14 against the spread still. They're mm-hmm. they've come back down to earth a little bit as people caught up and they've had injuries and stuff like that, Cavs are getting back to health too. It's hilarious that I look at this and Lamar Stevens is questionable. I'm like, ooh, Lamar Stevens is questionable, mm-hmm. but I actually mean it. So Cavs minus 3.5. Ailish, funny enough, your pick on Friday was also Cavs minus 3.5.
I know. So and it was the one that was a nail biter at the end.
Yeah,
but
exact same
she
spread,
came through.
But,
so,
JD, what do you got?
I just love some money line picks tonight in the NBA in terms of like making parlays. Like mm-hmm. I think that there's some really soft opportunities to play like some teams that are not quite within our rules. So I'm just gonna say this quickly. Like the Sixers to beat the Wizards, I like that, even though the Sixers just played.
That fits underneath. It's minus 185 if you want to go for it.
Yeah.
4.5
so
is the spread.
I'll just say this, is that like the Suns played last night, but they beat up on a Pistons team and they were able to rest late, and they're at the Spurs right now. They're minus 5.5. I like them money line. And then same thing, minus 5.5. I guess my theme is like there's three games tonight. Actually there's four. The Bucks as well, because Bucks are minus 5.5 as well.
Yeah, they're no all Capella, no Bogdanovic for Atlanta.
That's what I mean. Minus 5.5, minus like they're all in the same spot. And I keep looking at it and going, I don't know why these aren't just money line parlay pieces, but I am going with that one, which is the Milwaukee Bucks minus 5.5. I don't like the Hawks. I don't think that they're a very good team. I think that they're susceptible to getting beat up. You just mentioned it. There's no Capella inside. It's mm-hmm. not as exactly like he's been Mr. Helps this team win ball games right now, but this just reeks to me of a game where Giannis is going to be able to put up 10 billion points. Like Milwaukee is the type of team where they respond to bad losses, and I don't think that they like to lose two in a row. This to me is just Bucks domination night. This is a game where I think Milwaukee's going to kick the crap out of them. Bogdanovic is usually actually a guy that I'm afraid of in this matchup because he's the guy that turned down going to Milwaukee. He punted away an NBA championship so that he could go lose
but
ball games. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's out.
Yeah.
This just I like Atlanta is the type of team that I think can give up 130 points on any given night, and this is the type of night where I think that they could give up 130. Do I think that they're going to score 125? I don't. So I'm going to take the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, minus 5.5.
I like it.
All right, so this is something I'm playing as a side piece. I'm not going to throw it in the wake and rake, but Harvard minus 1.5 at Dartmouth tonight?
Shut up.
Not a believer in
that's
the
gross.
Big dreams. Big gap in the Ken Pom rankings for these
Come
two teams.
Come on. That's
Harvard, once again, the class of the Ivy League. There are a few hockey ones. Weirdly enough, like the biggest edge on the night is the Coyotes playing against the Canadiens. That's a
Can
minus
we just talk about how that is the worst hockey game matchup
yes.
of the entire season?
But here's
like,
the thing.
If you are it's tuning a... into that game, there's something going on with your life.
Yeah, it's 50-50 by line. They're both minus 110. It projects as more of a 60-40 for Arizona. I am absolutely not putting that garbage game in the wake and rake.
Please don't.
I'm going to make it a full NBA one, and I'm going to give us a little extra juice here. I'm taking the Charlotte Hornets money line plus 110 at the Knicks.
Yeah.
No Reddish.
By the way,
Noel,
that was my other pick.
Yeah, no Reddish, Noel, and Rose for the Knicks. Kemba's questionable. The Hornets are down Kelly Oubre, but they've been cooking against good teams. There's a lot to like on the NBA slate tonight. Like, if you wanted to super boost this, like, the 76ers money line, especially because I'm throwing a plus money line here, there's a lot of ways to go. But I'm going Hornets money line against the old Bing Bong.
Okay, can I suggest something right now then? Mm-hmm. So which one of these is the trap door then, Blake? Because I really like all
Probably
these picks.
Mine,
I like the Hornets tonight. I like the Sixers tonight. Okay? I like the Bucks tonight. I like the Jazz tonight. And I like the Suns tonight. That's five teams that I like in the NBA. Which one of those to you is the trap door that you don't feel is... Because you flagged one for me the other day. I did this with you. I showed you all these NBA picks. I got every single one of them right, except for I said, well, this Portland team is beat up and they're playing Washington. You were like, nope, stay away. And I stayed away from it, and guess what had happened? So which one of those is the one that you have the least amount of confidence in right now?
Probably
I hate doing this because they're my guys, but probably the Cavs, because just the Kyrie Harden element.
I didn't have the Cavs in that money line parlay. That was Ailish's own thing.
I would say probably the Jazz are the one I'm least confident with, just because they're just getting back to health. I know they beat the tar off the Nuggets last night, but that's a back-to-back against a Lakers team that needs a win. I don't know, like I haven't heard the reporting, like, is Rudy going to play full minutes on the second night of a back-to-back coming off of COVID? Is Donovan Mitchell? There are some question marks there as they get back to health. Obviously, the Jazz are a really, really good team. It's just road game at Staples, second night of a back-to-back as you're getting back to health.
Okay.
I would probably still take the Jazz, but that's the closest one to a stay away on that list for me.
But I'm going to leave it, and I'm just going to say then, you can get a three-way parlay of the Bucks, the Suns, and the Sixers at plus 240, and I'm going to be playing that. I like that parlay. I think that that is a good money line NBA parlay for the night, those four teams. And then I'm probably going to play that Charlotte pick as what you said. I'm going to make an alternate spread. I'm going to take Charlotte minus 5.5, and I'm going to get basically the same odds there, so I'm going to be doing that. I really like Charlotte too, though, and especially since Charlotte just blew it to a crappy Orlando team, and they did it in an embarrassing way where they're trying
after
to do
beating
Showtime
up
stuff.
A bunch of yeah. good teams.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I'm at with tonight's games. This was a great Wake and Rake. Again, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We do put picks out there. DM if you want some promo codes and you've never gotten one before.